God. All right. Let's get, say, I have my Bible. It's God's word to me. God's word is a seed planted in my heart that brings forth fruits. Come on, God's word is a seed planted in my heart that brings forth fruit. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you and we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We pray that today that your purpose, your counsel, your intent will be accomplished here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We are in a teaching that we have titled, right? What's the title? What's the title? Marriage and Relationships, a Godly Perspective, right? And we have been going, this is our part four, and we have been going on. We talk about the spiritual part of things, and we talk about the practical part of things. And like you would see, we are really going through the book of Corinthians. It's a subtitle from our teaching, Ecclesia. We're going to the book of Corinthians. And the book of Corinthians is such a phenomenal book because it deals with practical issues in a local church. Amen. And so you see from like chapter 1 and chapter 2, it tells you that they are fighting. Amen. Chapter 3, it tells you there's a division between pastors, some like Apollos, some like Peter, some like Paul. Amen. By chapter 5, it tells you about the disorderliness in the church because some people, brethren, were living in fornication and adultery. Amen and amen. And in chapter 6, it tells you how some people are taking brethren, fellow believers, to court. Amen. We are now in chapter 7, though we have not touched it, but we have been in it for 3 weeks, but we have not touched it. In chapter 7, where it now talks about marriage, right? Why? Did God put the book of Corinthians in the Bible? Because it talks about practical issues that face believers in a local church. That must be handled. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You must understand that what is our ministry? We have a ministry of what? Reconciliation. To reach the world. But how many people know that if we don't deal with practical issues, it will stop us from reaching the world. Amen. Church, amen. That is why it is a silly saint who just says it's all about ministry. It is all about ministry, Rebecca, but if you don't take care of practical issues, it will affect ministry. That's why the Word of God will go in and talk about it. And then we'll try our best to look into that and continue. I'm people excited as well about our sister Buki Irawo and brother George Irawo got married on Monday. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It was a wonderful time, you know, with the saints celebrating that marriage. Right. They're most likely off on honeymoon at the moment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We greet you from here if you're watching us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right. So we get into God's word. And today, while we are looking at marriage from a godly perspective. Amen. We would be investigating again this talk about, is love enough? Amen. If we are, and like, you know, I always say, this teaching is for believers. It's for who? Believers. So, when we say this teaching is for believers, it means that our definition of things are taken exclusively from Scriptura. We are sola Scriptura, only Scripture. Amen. Praise God. So, we are looking at things from a point of view of Scripture. So, we are asking the question, is love enough? First John, right? 1 John, I want to read chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. Amen. I'm going to start off from verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another. What does it say? Let us. Let us. Love one another. So if you wanted to get an instruction, what would be an instruction that you will be doing and you will not be wrong? Loving one another. But we are going to, because we can say love, 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 walk in love, and people really don't know what that means. But now you have the instruction. Let us love one another. Why? For love is, No, you have to be in verse 7 with me. For love is... So the love we are talking about, is it earthly love? This love is of God. Meaning that if you are not born again, you don't have the capacity for it. Hallelujah. This is the reason why we tell believers that they cannot marry unbelievers. You don't even date them. And that's why we must get the understanding out rather than just getting the instruction out. If we say don't date an unbeliever, why? The love of God is the issue. The love of God, which we trade in our family, you don't have. So there is a currency we have in our family. You don't have that currency. By function of not having that currency, you're already disenfranchised. Are you getting it? You can't vote. Amen. How many people know that it takes a citizen in this country to vote? If you come to this country on holiday and when people are voting and you don't vote, you get angry. No. So that is this. It's the same way. An unbeliever does not get angry that a believer is saying, no, I can't date you because you're an unbeliever. Why? The currency we trade, they don't have it. And you must know it and be sure of it. Why are we saying this? If not, when pressures come, you will compromise. This is why your conviction is important. Amen? Amen? Your conviction is important. Why? Conviction is important for the day of pressure, for the day of trouble. Amen. How many people have had themselves say or do things they didn't believe they could say or do when trouble came? Let me see. Amen. Oh my God. Some people, sister, your life is very spiritual. Amen. Did I just say? How many people have gotten very angry before and you said something that you have rebuked somebody else before? How can you talk like that? You are born of God, but out of anger, you've said it before. Right? Yeah. That is why conviction is important. That is why repetition is important. Because repetition builds conviction. Amen. The more you keep, listen, you have to keep saying it, talking it, knowing it. Because if not, in the day of pressure, you give in. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. That's the instruction. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. Someone say everyone that loveth is born of God. It means that it doesn't matter who you are. If you are not born of God, you cannot love in God's frequency. Amen. No. Everyone. Did he say some people? He says everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So love, listen to this, please write this down. Love is a fruit of a relationship. Love in our kingdom. I'll get there. He says, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That knoweth God is the word. Do I need to get into the Greek? But because know in the Bible has many, many different. There's epignosis, there is ginosko. But the word here is ginosko. But ginosko honestly means experiential knowledge. Intimate experiential knowledge. The Bible says the man that has an intimate experiential knowledge of God, there is something you will see. What will you see? Love. So I know God. I love God. I experience God. What is that fruit you will see if I didn't say it? Love. So love is the fruit of an intimate relationship. Not I know. I used to be dating God last month. Now in 1945, we were on fire for God. Not that one. I'm talking about an intimate experiential knowledge. A love that we are talking about here is ginosko. It is intimate, experiential. In fact, in the Greek, if you go to Greece and you say ginosko, don't say it. Because if you say ginosko in Greece, it actually means I want to sleep with you. Because it actually means intimate knowledge in a way nobody can. That comes from experience. Amen. That's the word here. He says, he that loveth not, knoweth not. For God is love. Let's go back to verse 7. And everyone that loveth is born of God. Say, I am born of God. I'm born of God. Come on, I am born of God. So that means whatever it is we are saying that love is within you because you are born of that love. Amen. Church, amen. So look at verse 8. He that loveth not, he that loveth not, knoweth not. So when you find someone not walking in love, what did he say is the real reason? The real reason for us not walking in love as we ought to is that our experience, our ginosko, knowing, is a continuous intimate fellowship. So let me say something here. The best way to transform your marriage is to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Can we get a believing amen? Because the Bible is saying here, people don't, it's like you don't like this message. Like I just say, get to the point, sir. Amen. Look at it again. I want you to follow the words closely. We are talking about love. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. So, who is God? God is love. When a man does not walk in love, he doesn't have a present burning relationship. That's what he's saying. Because the man that is on fire for God, the fruit of it will be this thing we are describing, love. Meaning, if you encountered God on the highway and you guys went on a date or you went on a boat cruise with the Lord, any way you want to put it, when will you leave the Lord, let's put it that way, and we meet you, what will be the first thing we will say about you? Love. So love is what rubs off on you. Having met with the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Okay, look at it now. He that loveth not, knoweth not. For God is love. What is God? Love. What is God? What is God? Love. So God is love. Whoever is born of God is born of love. And that person then loves. If you are not born of God, you cannot love like God. Praise God. It must mean if we are describing love, whatever we call love is not in the world. Amen. Church, amen. Right. Why? Because even the love of the world, how many people know that there's a little bit of self in it? How many people know that even parental love. Why doesn't Sister Simi like all the children in the whole world? And she's only actually taking one to school in the morning and all of that. Amen. Are you getting my point? Are you getting my point? The reason, I love him, he came from her. Amen. Church, amen. Yeah. Why didn't Brother Sodiq go and marry somebody from Sao Tome and Principe who is... The truth about it is that even marriage, the person you go for, there is an element of self in it. Amen. That's why the love in our kingdom is different. You will hear God demonstrated, Romans 5 verses, God demonstrated his love for us. That while we're what? Church, while we're what? We were sinners. That is why, don't talk about it because people get you out of context. But I will. I always do that to tell you not to get me out of context. I said, no, you shall not push me. So for example, you see Hosea. Hosea is a man who is instructed of the Lord to go marry a prostitute. And he will be told, that's a prostitute. You marry her, she will leave you. Then you go back and go and buy her back and bring her back home. And she will still leave you with everything that you're doing. And then he now says, then he's a prophet. Then God will now say, this is the message to Israel. They are the prostitutious nation that even though I have loved them, they didn't do anything to deserve it. But I have given them everything, but they are still going on fornicating and committing adultery on the mountains to idols. Meaning, when we talk about love, the love of God, it is other people-minded. Hallelujah.
The love of God. That's why I said the love that we are talking about is not the love that the world describes. It's not there. You can't find it there. The love that is in our kingdom, you can only receive it by redemption.
Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. We are not gone too far. We are in verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. We are in verse 9. Because that he sent his only, someone say only, begotten son into the world, that we might live through him. Listen, what did God do? God sent his only begotten son. Someone say, in our kingdom, love is sacrifice. Are you seeing it there? Only begotten son. He is trying to describe the manifestation of love. That's why I say, love is not enough. Love is, bro, you don't know what love is. What is love? It has nothing to do with anything. Love is first sacrifice. So when you say, I love you, and that's why we always, although my wife always says I'm guilty of this, I say I love you to almost anybody and everybody. Do you know what I'm really saying? When it comes to sacrifice, you can count me. And I mean, I'm talking Bible language. When, that's why we always say, implicate yourself. Go to your neighbor. Tell him I love you. Go to your sister. Tell her, why? Because in our kingdom, we are sworn to sacrifice for one another. Unto the uttermost. Can we get a believing amen? That's why we are Christians. Look at it. And we have a master that leads us. That's why we said the best way, the best marriage seminar is a marriage seminar that focuses your eyes on Jesus. Not on your partner or your spouse. Whoever they are. Amen. Because you will be constantly demanding for what people cannot supply. That they can only supply because they have received so much that they can give. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is the reason why a lot of relationships and marriages struggle. We always need something and we are demanding something. But honestly, because of culture, makeup, strategy, experiences, what we most likely are demanding for would only be honestly supplied and filled as the person looks up or looks within, meets with that love. That's what can happen. Okay. I'm going ahead of myself, but the question really is love enough? But we are seeing so far, if you are following me, that number one, love is sacrificial. Meaning that if love has one thing, love will drop that thing. Even though that thing was very, very important to them. Can we get a believing amen? Church, can we get a believing amen? Wait, it's like people don't like this message. Should I just say love is selfish? Amen. Is that the one you like? Love is about you. Is that what you want to hear? I will tell the giddy dickens to gather around you and start binding and casting. All right. Look at it. It says, verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his son into the world that we might live through him. So number two in this point, the first one is love is sacrificial. The second point in this point is love is other people minded. I'm talking about the love of God. Meaning that if I ever said I was going into a marriage, I am saying that number one, for that sister I will sacrifice. For that sister is our issue. You know, we have always said in this local church, Sister Victoria's issue is our issue in the local church. In your marriage, your spouse's issue. Your spouse's issue is your issue. So be careful who you marry. Because who you marry determines the issues that will be your issue. Amen. Church, amen. It's true. Amen. And be very, listen. Marry with love in mind, Jesus in mind, ministry in mind. Amen. Marry with you too in mind. So, okay, don't worry. So it doesn't look like a motivational speech. Back to God's word. All right. Look at verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Because that God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. When Philippians will talk about this, you say the love of God. He humbled himself and became a man. And died the death. He died the death of the cross. That is love. Jesus was a human being. Did he do anything? No. Offend anybody? No.
Why is he on the cross? He's on the cross for you. That is why a real gospel message leaves you in thanksgiving. Can I get a believing amen? Why? Because we are talking about someone who comes and inherits something he has no hand in. Are you hearing? That is why the gospel gets us passionate. Someone changed our lives, rescued us from so great a destruction. Not because we could do anything. Listen, I don't know about you. When I got into this world, I was raised meritocratic. Everybody likes you because of something that you bring to the table. Amen. How many people know that? How many people know that your boss promotes you because of work, not because he likes you? Sister Ayola, we just really like you. We like your smile. You know, just become our MD. It has never happened. Amen. Amen. You should be shocked. So it's meritocratic. That's why on the earthly plane, if you're a human being on this earth, understand the way the world works. If in the place where you work, people do this particular kind of professional exam to get to do it and get the knowledge and all of that. Because in the world that you are in, it is meritocratic. Merit. How many people know that as we are celebrating Dr. Fola, who is just getting all manner of certificates and becoming, she wants to become the best doctor in the whole world. How many people know that if anything happens to anybody here, even though we like Dr. Fola, if she has not graduated, will you allow her to give you injection? Say, I just like Dr. Fola's hand. No. Why? The world is meritocratic. Merit. You go everywhere, you merit it. Amen. Amen. But the difference between that system and our system is when you turn up as a born-again Christian, we have something to give. It's called love. Why? Because we are like that. What is the currency of our kingdom? It's love. You don't have to be good for the believer to love you. Amen. Because the believer knows he was not good when Jesus found him. Can we get a believing amen? Can we get a believing amen? So we said first that number one, love is sacrificial. Number two, we said that love puts the other person first. Amen. We are now in verse 10. Herein is love. This is the joker. The secret of this thing that we're talking about is in verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we, I want you to be there. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. You know the funny thing? When people talk about marriage counseling, sometimes they say, you know what? A husband that loves his wife is the one the wife will submit to. You know what? Don't get me wrong. That's why I said I'm talking to Christians. Don't get me wrong. At a lower level, does that sound correct? Yeah. You see a woman that's always saying, oh, you know, I grew up that way. That's how I grew up. My mom, oh my God, she collected my father's money. Why? Any small thing, we are outside. My husband, the only, before you know that man has signed it, he has signed his check away. Every human knew how to do those things. Yeah. At the lower level, it works. She says the best things. We grew up thinking our dad was Superman. If you're a wise woman, you talk like that to your children. Let your children see your dad as the best thing in the world. Amen. That's how it should be. Men, the same thing. Let's show your children in front of them that their mom is special. You must be intentional about it because you are unconsciously teaching. Praise her without reason. Wake up and say, wow. She said, what happened? She says, your beauty. Glory. Is that you? Glory. Yes. Your children, if not, we'll raise dysfunctional children. We are raising children that will have learned at home that daddy is a big deal. And mommy is a big deal. And love is a beautiful thing. Praise God. Church, praise God. You know, this topic is always sweet to divert. I'm not diverting. I'm going straight to where I'm going to. Amen. So the point is, people will normally say, if the woman submits, the man will love. If the man loves, the woman will submit. Look at God. Herein is love. Verse 10. Not that we love God. So what did we bring to the table in this relationship with God? Nothing. But did we find a consistent lover in our God? Yeah, we did. That is the story of salvation. That is the reason why Fola is always celebrating God. Fola will most likely sometimes say, me? I know, I understand that you will save everybody. Yeah, not a big deal. You save Sister Fola, save Riverica. But me, what do I bring to the table? Nothing. But you, that is what brings Thanksgiving. The fact that there is someone that exists that loves me, not because of anything that I can do or bring. In fact, I was in my worst when he met me. The gospel makes you another man. Can we get a believing amen? See, that's why you must hear it again and again. It makes you another man. I could not have brought anything to the table. He came for me. This makes me another man. In fact, this is the lens through which we judge men. This is the lens through which we deal with men. Amen. Church, amen. That is why you will be told later to forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Not because the person didn't hurt you, but because you have come into another kingdom. Amen. That's why the Bible says, be tender-hearted, be kind. Why? We saw a kindness in God. Amen. Church, amen. So as a believer, you are kind by nature. Not being kind is you being carnal. The more you fellowship with, and that's why I always tell people what I need to know, God tells me. What I need to see, he shows me. There is a lot, don't say, man, this man must be deep. No, it's redemption that brought it. God is more interested in leading me than I can be ever interested in leading myself. If you are not broad, braggadocious about that love relationship with the Lord, right, you would always be edgy. See, God is so kind to me. That's why I'm kind. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about believer. I work closely with pastor. He's not that kind. Amen. But the point is, the Bible it shows us, when I am in relationship with God, I see his love. I see his kindness. I see his mercy. As I continue our relationship with God, it flows on in my relating with other people. Amen. Church, amen. Hearing his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for us. Having learned that, look at verse 11. Beloved, are you in verse 11? If God so what should I focus on? Okay, let's read it together. If God so loved us, we ought to love. Where should you put your focus? Loving one another or recognizing how much he loves you? The recognition of how much he loves me will aid me in loving one another. If you don't do it this way, you will struggle. My relationship with the Lord will affect my marriage. It will affect my friends. If God so loved us, and I know that he loves us, I will love the other. No man has seen God at any time. What is the proof that you have a relationship with God? You know, it's good to say, I love God, and I love you, Lord, and cry in worship. It's beautiful. It's lovely. But do you know the real deal? How do we know that you have encountered Jesus? He says, what you do with others. What you do with where? Come on. What you do with others. Yeah. Look at it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. This is John speaking. Trouble. This is John speaking. John that will later write the book of Revelation. Right? He says, no man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, where is God? God dwelleth in us. So the proof of this gospel, of this kingdom, is what we do with one another. Amen. Church, amen. I'm going softly. Look at verse 18. Interestingly, I'm not going into anything I'm going to say today. But look at verse 18. Look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he, so are we in this, there is no fear in, church, I want you to remember, there is no fear in love. No fear in love means this person is beholding the love of the Father. In beholding the love of the Father, he sees, he knows, he understands how much God loves him. Fear dies. So what is the real problem when fear exists? A person not meditating on the love of God. Am I too fast? Church, am I too fast? I'll say it again. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in. There is no fear in. For perfect love cast out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So what should I do if I was a man always plagued with fear? Go back to the gospel message of his love for you, his care for you, his help towards you. The fact that he came when nobody could come. The fact that he showed up faithful when you yourself, you are not faithful. The fact that he demonstrated his love for you. The commitment that God has towards you is solidified through your knowing what he did in his death and his resurrection. How do we know that God will come through for Sister Fola? We know because he died for her. Hallelujah. If we find Sister Fola in fear, what should we say? Do you not know that God loves you? God loves you. Do you not know that he died for you? Come on. He died for. Do you not know he was raised on the third day? He was raised. Because you say, he's so simplistic. I learned in Sunday school. Yes. Because they know, because the secret, do you know why we are fearful Christians? They have forgotten the love of God. I'm afraid of tomorrow. And you know, fear is a wrong motivation. Fear will make you buy what you don't need. Were you around during COVID, Sister Rebecca? Are those tissue paper still in your house? People were buying tissue paper that they were using in 2032. Other people did not have what they will use tomorrow. And you will not give them. Why? It's fear. You will cheat your neighbor. Everything really that we call sin is rooted in fear. Fear is the seed that the devil uses. So the man that is delivered from fear has been delivered indeed. Amen. Why is the thief stealing? It's fear. Fear of not having. You become a tepoku rapengas, a stupra, a man that God can use in your generation. Delivered from the fear of death. Delivered from the fear of the things to come. Why? What is your boast? There is a Father that will never, ever leave me. There is a Father, he will never, ever. This, how do you know? He died for me. And he was raised again. So there is something the love of God does to me. It translates me into a supernatural being. What makes me supernatural? Fear is gone. Hallelujah. Fear is gone. If I stood in front of a Red Sea, believe you me, I expect that the Red Sea will be parted. Why? There is a Father. All this, hey, will it part? Should it part? Why should it part? It must part. Why? I am there. The Lord is there. Perfect love cast out fear. Hallelujah. So you say, hey, this man can boast. It's not boast, it's truth. If he can die for me, what is parting a Red Sea? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If he can die. The Bible tells us that the greatest thing he could do, he says he humbled himself and died the death of a cross. He humbled himself and became a man. Who? For who? You will have thought it's for me and Fola. Are you one of us? Fola, it's only two of us that Christ died for. It's for all of them, right? Let them know. Say it's for all of you. Praise God. Why? This is the confidence of... See, if you don't carry this confidence in your daily life, it will show. It says fear has torment. That's why you're always jittery. You're always concerned. You're always thinking that things will go bad. And we did not say things will not go bad. But do you know the issue? When things go bad, you can still say, God is here with me here in this bad stuff. And so we will go through it, what? Together. Even though, he didn't say, when it comes to all these issues, God is not, he's only the good. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What did he say? I will fear no evil. Why? See, love turns you to another man. Drunk as it is, love turns you to another man. you will give your life for men. You will go the extra mile. They will say, what about you? You know, there's that thing in man that says, what about you? What do you get from this? What else? You say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Something about me has changed. I fear no evil. For what? The Lord is with me. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. Even though. So Christianity did not say you will not go through. Christianity says, even though I go, he's there. What am I talking about? The love of God casts out fear. Amen. Amen. So the resurrection was to deal with fear. Look at, hey my God, look at Hebrews. Someone say, God, I came in for a marriage counseling. See what we are listening to. Hebrews 2. Say, I'm delivered from fear. Come on, Hebrews chapter 2. Oh, I just put that button on my iPod. Hebrews chapter 2. Are you there? Amen. Hebrews chapter 2. Praise God. Are you in Hebrews 2? We are looking at verse 14. See, I'm delivered from fear. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through, I want you to be there. Verse 14. That through, he might, church, he might destroy him that has the power of death. That is the devil. What did Jesus really do for you? Look at verse 15. And deliver. Say, I'm a delivered man. What did he really deliver you from? And deliver them. Who through? Oh, yeah. Who through? Fear. God has delivered me from the fear of death. This is the reason why we are bold in front of the devil. This is the reason why we are bold on this earth. We are the only delivered people. Delivered from the fear that is in this world. Daddy, mommy left me. I have a father that would not leave me. David will say, father and mother forsake me, but the Lord is with me. Listen, this is the secret to our kingdom, the love of God. He has delivered them who through all their lifetime were through fear. What does fear do? The fear of death, where all their lifetime subject to bondage. What did Jesus do for me? He delivered me from the kingdom of fear, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil, and into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of love, where fear does not reign. That is my kingdom. Now that I'm in that kingdom, I now say, I want to marry. Praise God. Church, praise God. We said love is sacrificial. Love, put the other person first. What really is love? Love is serving another. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Are you there? Galatians 5:13. Now I see what all you iPadians and Android and God you go through. I love my Bible. Galatians 5:13. And then I'm old. I love my Bible. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. That's the freedom we are talking about. You are now free. Free from death, the fear of death. You're free. What is the freedom? Not because the things in the world will change, but because you know there is the Father that is there with you. Amen. Look at verse 13. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Meaning, don't say, now I'm free from fear of death. I'm free from everything. I can do anyhow. He says you are now free. Meaning, you don't have that burden that the whole world has. That burden of fear of what will tomorrow bring. The fear of what is going to happen. The fear of, a lot of people. How many people know that a lot of people, even Christians today, they are not preached well to. You know, they are afraid of what they call the return of Christ. Amen. that when Jesus comes, maybe they will not go. You know, it's going to be a funny thing. If there is this fear or the other, when you are taught well, what do you know? You are free from what? Fear. Look at it. Why were you made free from fear? You were made free from fear that you may serve. Look at it there. It's there. It's there. It's there. So that's why we say you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not the end of the message. It might be an half-truth if you don't listen to it to the end. You are the righteousness of God so that you can be someone that can serve without fear. All the condemnation, the guilt, everything that can come your way, every of the what the Bible calls fiery darts of the enemy, they are all rooted in fear. The man that beholds God's love becomes a confident man to face anything. Amen. Church, amen. That is the man that has believed the gospel. So I just described you to you. And I described you to you by describing what God has done with you. We said so far that God is love. We have said so far you are born of that love. We have said so far that that love is sacrificial. We have said so far that love puts other people first. We are now going to, let's look at it, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Anyone with the, I have to eat my words. Anybody with the NLT? 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to be reading verse 5. Let me even try to read it in the NLT. Okay, let's read verse 4. Remember we started off, we said God is love. Then what is love? Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is, come on, love is patient. So God is patient. You are. Why do we tell you about God? So you know who you are. For you are born of him. And his life is in you. God is patient. How many people can testify that God is patient? Hey, God is patient. You say, oh, man, God, how many people look at you? Maybe you're just driving. You say, man, God, you're trying. And you're talking about yourself. How are you dealing? Amen. Love is patient and love is kind. So, the Bible says, the more, how do you become, hey, permit me, I will say it and say it. How do you become more patient? Or I just want to say it, patienter. Amen. How do you become more patient with your spouse? You know, someone could say, I shall be patient. I am patient. That's a second step. The first step is remembering. Someone say remembering. Meditating on the patience of God towards you. The patience of God towards you is the raw material you use in character. Write it down. The patience of God towards you is the raw material. You draw from the Lord. Amen. You don't draw from situation and circumstances. You draw from the Lord. He is patient towards me. Therefore, because this is the only way God said it happens. Amen. We love him because he loved us first. So the relationship I have with the Lord is what supplies me the ability to love him. So if we see somebody backsliding, what really is happening? He is no longer beholding the love of God for him. Amen. So love is patient and kind. What is patience? It is the ability to actually give people a long rope. To persevere. Amen. You know, we can all look at, like I always say, you can look at Sister Yola and say, we're going to give her 4 years in prayer. Just to bet a particular thing. Amen. Have we lost you? Did you go and say, Sister Yola, sir, you should have picked somebody else. Amen. Amen. See, we can look at Sister Simi and say, you know what, this one we would give 15 years. We would. Someone say, what do we do with time? We use time to serve people. Amen. Because all we see is a father becoming a servant to serve us. That is is why marriage is, Sister Book, if you are watching me, wherever you are watching me, that I just got married, you just signed yourself away to serve somebody in the way of the Lord. Praise God. Marriage is, I will never be first, you will. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Yeah. Love is patient. Love is kind. Look at it. Kind. The ability. The ability. Okay. You know what kind is? Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Amen. Love is not rude. Did you hear what I just said? Love is not. So God is not. Church, God is not rude. Yeah, yeah. Because love, God is love. So how do I turn from being a rude spouse? As I remember my fellowship with the Lord and realize that in my fellowship with the Lord, God is not rude. If God is rude to you, the Bible says it's your mind. Amen. You know, amen. Praise God. You know, sometimes people have experiences, and experiences will never be above the word. So when you have experiences sometimes, if it is not written with, because some people say, I really saw a dog barking, and on top of the head of the dog was G-O-D. And the reason for the dog barking and pursuing me was because he called me and I did not accept the call. He was pursuing me. And while, whether you like it or not, what you have heard or known about God forms experiences sometimes that becomes what people say is a vision. So the truth about it, that's why you realize that when you start to renew your mind, you realize that that dog is no longer dog. You are now hearing God speak to you normally. Why? The Bible said love is not rude. Love is not boastful. Love is not jealous. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. I'm reading the Bible that you are reading. Love does not rejoice and about injustice, but rejoices in the truth. Love never gives up. Are you hearing? It's, in that same place, he says, love does not demand its own way. And that some people always ask me, why doesn't God just do the thing? If God was to do what he wanted to do, that would be love stepping outside of character, because love does not demand his way. This is the reason why God wants everybody saved, but we're waiting on Sister Fola, Sister Simi, Sister this, Brother this, to preach the gospel. Are you getting it? Is God not the one that created the brain? Could he not just do something and then everybody would just be liking him and they would just be all saved? Somebody will have said, why doesn't God just do that? Because love does not demand his way, even in important things like salvation. He will still have a man preach to a man, and that man that was preached to will hear the message and agree. Then the Holy Ghost enters that man's heart. Love does not demand his way. So demanding your way is not the fruit in Christ. Amen. Church, amen. Church, amen. And you know, and sometimes men can be manipulative, so are women. Where which you have a way, is that way you want to get to? You will do all you can to manipulate to get to that way. Love does not demand its own way. Love trusts. Love hopes. That is why marriage is an interesting game in God. Let me put it that way. Because it's showing Christ and the church. Even with the church, God will not demand his way. How many people know that there are a lot of things that are happening in the world today or in the church today? In our world today, that God does not agree with. Let me see your hands up. But he will not demand his way. What is God's hope? What is God's? God still is trusting in one man. Another man there. Who will go arise, speak, correct, renew? God still will have to depend on men to speak the gospel to other men. So someone will be doing evil. Full-blown evil in the local church, right? Even ministers in the local church. God is still depending on one man that will go and speak to another man and tell another man that one man. Why? Because love does not demand his way. Love preaches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why when a believer now decides to say he wants to get married, He's making a decision he cannot be flippant about. Praise God. Why? You see Paul tell those who are gotten married, women, he says, if you marry somebody and you are born again and the person is not born again, he says you can't nag the person. 1 Peter 3:1-3. He says you cannot nag the person. You cannot make life difficult for the person. He says all you are now to be is to be an example to that person. Praise God. What do you do if you find yourself one way or the other? That's why we say before you get married, we are always very intentional about it. Because when you get married, the only way you now can change people is to be an example. And trust me, you pray and be an example. And listen, whether you like it or not, you can pray for many, many years and be an example. That will be the godly route. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. It says, be an example. So what you want to see the person do, the Bible now says, therefore, that is why when you are in a relationship, take red flags as seriously. Because red flags expand. I don't know why they put it as red while we are still dating. Because when he's in married, red should be amplified. Amen. Sister Simi, amen. Deacon Tosi, amen. Let me call man, let me call woman. Amen. Yeah, there are some things that people will be doing at this scale, very small. When it's married now, it increases. That's why you can't be flippant. It cannot just be about every other thing. You must look into. That's why I said to you in the beginning that when we are talking about relationships, marriages, or before you get into marriage, ask questions. You got to ask questions. What's your relationship with toothbrush? Do you like bathing 2 times a day or 3 times, or you don't take your bath? If it's important to you, amen. Don't just say, well, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But if you don't like smell, let us know so that you are not coming to Deacon's board. He didn't bath since 2 weeks ago. What should head of Deacon's board tell you? Did he show you those signs? did you ever go on dating and he didn't bath? And you say, wow, that's a romantic smell. That you enhance that behavior. Amen. What will now happen is, and that's what sometimes happens, you now get into marriage and then you expect a miracle. Praise God. But now, you are now married. So we have to tell you that miracles, the miracle of the New Testament for believers is process. Amen. Meaning people change steadily. If you see someone just arise in our kingdom, I'm not doing that thing again, be watchful. Because how we change in our kingdom is via the renewal of the mind. The mind must be changed. Listen, fear does not bring renewal of mind. Fear brings temporary alignment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Fear, that's why people that when somebody is in maybe full-blown adultery and all that, and just say, if you, God will come into your room and kill you. The person say, hey, God can come into our room. I'm not going to fornicate anymore. But it's temporary. It's temporary. One day we just say, if God will come, let God come. What I want to do, I will do. That's how the mind is. But when the renewal of the mind takes place, nobody can take that thing away from that person. Nobody. If you get a proper renewal of the mind on prayer, you get it. It doesn't matter. You pray. Even if nobody is there, you pray. You preach. You do God's word. If you have a proper renewal of the mind on God loves the church and nourishes and cherishes the church, and you get it, that's what you now start to show your wife. So you start saying, see the way God gave me all of his gifts. And that's why revelation is important. God did not just say, Sister Diola, I love you, but as these gifts of the Spirit is like this. You know that in the New Testament that Paul showed us, he showed us 9. Let me give you 2. No, he said, this is my spirit. Take. Amen. Church, amen. So the love of God shows us things about God. See how God is in forgiveness. Look at how God is. You did something wrong. You knew. You went to say sorry. God says, wait. Listen, I'm not in the mood now. Can we pick this up in October? No, it wasn't like that. He said, okay. In fact, before you did what you're going to do, I already have practiced advanced forgiveness with you. You say, God, are you serious, Lord? He says, you shouldn't have done that. Right? Like I always tell people, don't say, I have the forgiveness of sins. You shouldn't have done that. You've done that. I've forgiven you. You can do better. That's God. Amen. Don't just say, no, there's no need to talk to the Lord. That's what breaks relationship between your heart and the Lord. Because there's no accountability. I'm the righteousness of God, I can do anyhow. That's what breaks it. Not from God, but from you. Acknowledge wrong so that you don't deceive your heart. Oh, Lord, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Just, oh, Lord, I've forgiven you. It's all good. Proceed. Say, wow, what a merciful God. So you start to learn that you... So someone does something to you too. You just remember, see the way God actually just said, it's okay. Not that he didn't... Not, God is holy. God is without sin. In fact, sin as an element does not... it cannot be in his presence. Are you getting what I'm saying? It cannot be in his presence. But you say to the... I forgive you. So that... So the Lord will now say to you, I forgive you, it's all right. Then you now say, wow, what forgiveness, what mercy. That's why those who honestly were living a very terrible life before, when they receive the gospel, they're always on fire. Because it looks like, oh my God, they acknowledge and appreciate what goodness God has done. So it's the same thing. Because God's character should be the influencer of yours. But if you don't have a relationship with him, you'll be acting on your own. So, what makes me a giver? You know, it's not because Sister Fola particularly has needs first. Mm-mm, no. What makes me a giver first is understanding that there was something I was bereft of. I didn't have it. And I needed it. It was eternal life. And it was so much, but I couldn't pay it. Then he comes, and freely he gives it to me. And he says, it's free. You got it now. I remember that. That's what breaks the hold of being stingy. Amen. It's not particularly if you have needs or you don't have needs. It's the fact that, do you understand what he did? This thing we call the kingdom of God is that Christ personalized the kingdom of God. He died for me. If he died for me, meaning if it was only for love that was on the earth by God, God would have come 3 days, he would have died, and he would have come out of the grave, and he would live in Fola's heart as if Fola never sinned. Fola today is holy, blameless, as if she has never done anything. What did he do? For God so loved the world that he gave. So God is my mentor in giving. If you don't see it like that, when you hear, this person has a need, let us give towards that, you'll be angry. You'll be trying to confess it out. I'm a giver, but you're angry. Revelation will take care of it. It's the same thing in your homes. Look at the character traits that you think you're struggling with at the moment. And now reflect on how God is to you. Amen? To who? To who? To you. Listen, that's how you deal. How many people have ever been angry before? How many people have ever done something to God that made you know that this will have made God angry? Sister, your lie is... Sister, your lie doesn't do anything. It's all of us that does. Sister, your lie, she doesn't do. Let me see your hand. You know that when you were done, you know, a minister was ministering. He said a very wrong thing to say. He said, his opinion, like he said, somebody tried to touch him in a particular place, someone of the same sex. He said, I forgot self-control, but I thank God that there's forgiveness of sins. Because what I did to that brother, I honestly should not be, I should not say that on the other, but that's what he said. But my point is, how many of us have done something? That's the only way. If you don't remember, you know, you would, like, I preached a message in the university as we close today. I preached a message in the university many years ago, maybe 20, 17, 19. After I preached the message on forgiveness, a lady came to me and said, that's when I knew that, okay, we need to think these things through, the thing we are preaching. She said, how do I forgive the man who our family took as a family friend that raped me and told me not to tell anybody? And now I'm in front of you and you're sharing this message about the forgiveness of God. Because that day I just preached forgive, forgive, forgive. And that changed my ministry. Because after that time I realized, unless you point people to Jesus, you don't have a level playing field to tell them to do what to do. Can I get a believing amen? The only way people have escaped that particular question is, I understand, or I may never understand actually, the effect and the impact of rape on you. But this reminds me about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of how we are dead in sin and we're filthy, even you. And God, because sometimes we don't know what sin is until we understand what holiness is. God, in his humility, then comes down and becomes a man. Embodies, it's almost saying that he embraced mortality. How can God? I said, that is bigger than rape. How can God embrace mortality? I mean, God becomes a woman. God now is crying. God needs breast milk. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God, the one that created the stars and the moon, they need to wake him up. God is now a child. God becomes a man. God. That's the only way I can explain it. Do you understand what it means to be mortal? God become mortal. God dies for you. And you did not even pay my attention until you were 19. So for 19 years, it could have been that you were ripping God's heart. And God has still forgiven you. God has still given you life. God still came through for you. God forgave you of everything, from the nature to the action. With tears in her eyes, she could see why she can let that man. I couldn't have said, what would I have said? It's rape. I couldn't have said that. I could only say, see what Jesus has done for you. Give that man a little of what God has done for you. And we now went back. What did he do? What did he do? This is what he did. Oh, she now saw, I have no moral justification to hold this man because Christ did not hold me. It's the same thing with character. The more, as you see, what did God do? I can hold my dad, hold my mom. Mommy was not there. Daddy was not there. Husband does this. Wife does that. Brother does this. This one does that. But the intimate ginosko, fellowship I have with God daily, reminds me of a holy God that will dwell in Dio daily, every day. He will never leave. He will never leave or forsake me. A confidence so sure. A bragging point so real. All the gifts of the Spirit flowing steady. This same God. This same God that Moses would say, God is my God, lives in me today, forgiving me all my sins. Oh, how can I hold Brother Tosi in my heart? Right? While we can instruct him that he could do better. So what I'm saying is that while we forgive people, we are not stopping them from being responsible and taking accountability. But that venom of hate, that venom of anger, that venom of evil is soaked up all in the resurrection. So the point is this, the message is this, the crowning point is this. The more I remember how much God loves me, I down my tools, I beat my plowshares, I take my arrows, I put them down. I remember this love so real. It is so real. It is burning today. It's so real because Jesus is alive today. And I know sometimes I'm preaching this way so that you have a message to listen to when you're very, very angry with your wife. I'm very, very angry with your husband. I'm very, very angry with your brother. You swear I will never talk to him that way. And you remember, oh, there is a man, there is a God that could have said, I will never talk to Sadiq. I will never talk to Okpe. I will never talk to Rebecca. I will never talk to Suleiman. I will never talk to him again. And we will have said, yes, in the court of justice, you are right. But that man, we still will go back to that man. And we will talk about the leading of the Holy Ghost. And that God will still lead us. We call on him every day. He would answer. He would say, wait. You that did that. No, he would answer. Ever faithful. Where do we learn faithfulness from? We learn it from this same God. This same God. This is what chokes adultery. This is what chokes it. This same God is faithful to me when I'm not faithful to myself. I learn faithfulness from him. So faithfulness to the spouse. It's not because the faithfulness to your spouse is not because she's nice or she's kind, she's good, right? Faithfulness to your spouse is not even because, like, we're going to go next year, because she does all the many things that she does. While all of those things are good, but the believer man, faithfulness to your spouse is because you found faithfulness in Jesus. He said he would die, he will come, he will die. He said it to the mouth of the prophets. You were not there, you only heard, but he came. He died before he came out of the grave. And today he lives in your heart. You say, wow, what a faithful God. In this, I learned from my father, faithfulness. This is the message that we hear that affects our behavior. What are you to do with this message? Take it and start to apply it in the different parts of your life. Look at how God fellowships with you and then deal with men. You know what's going to happen? People will say, oh my God, you're changing. How caring should you be to Sister Rebecca? How caring is God to you? The Bible says he cherishes and nourishes the church. So Sister Rebecca is important to me. And one of the places I show, one of the greatest assets I have as a believer is prayer. So I will show that importance in prayer. That's why the Bible will say, I remember your faith and then your love for the saints, and I do not cease to pray for you always. So the labor of love, I take it in prayer for Sister Rebecca, and has nothing to do with what she does for me. Take this into your relationships. Take this into your friendships. Take this into your homes. Take this with your children. Raise children with love and grace. Remember, love and grace comes with discipline and instruction. The Bible tells you in Proverbs 22, he also tells you in Proverbs 13, that it is a wise woman, Proverbs 13, that actually, and wise man, that actually disciplines the children. So the Bible says discipline is love. So the father and the mother must discipline the children. Yes, it's not our love. Our own love is not yonky-dory. Like, we don't give you butter, we give you sweet. No, when there is need for discipline, we discipline them. That is love. Don't get me wrong. Wrong is not devoid of instruction. Love is not devoid of wisdom. Love is enough. God is love. It's just that God now gives us a different way of looking at other human beings today. How you see your spouse, your brother, your sister, your family members is now with a veil of Christ. I didn't say take rubbish. I didn't say don't take rubbish. All I said is you now have a veil. How will you know to take or not to take rubbish? The relationship you have with God. That is why no marriage counseling should have a broad fix. Divorce, don't divorce. Go, don't go. Come, don't come. Why? It depends on the two. How the fellowship determines what they are able and not able to do. I hope today you go back home and reevaluate what we call love. But much more, let Ginosko thrive in your hearts. Because you know, the more your fellowship with God stays intimate, the more you're a blessing to your spouse. A blessing. See, God will give you wisdom. God will direct you in the way to go. The relationship will bet it. It will. There is no marriage that is too irredeemable if the two, I didn't say one, if the two are interested in the love of God, in the wisdom of God, and in the instructions of God. There is no one. Why? Love is enough. Who will have said? Who will have taught that Dio will be a preacher today? Only God could have seen it. The days of him raving in the clubs, you will have thought that this man will die a club man. Abi Dikintosin. Yeah, you will have thought so. But love will be there with instruction, correction, love, encouragement, commendation. This one, that one. And you say, I should not be patient. And you say, I should not forgive. Who should understand forgiveness if not I? That should be your own story too, and everyone's story here. Yeah? Because at the end of the day, you can see God's long suffering. You can see God's wisdom. You can see God's patience. You see sometimes you fall short and you say, don't worry, God is still your chief comforter. He gave you the Holy Spirit, the comforter. God is still your intercessor. He's giving you ability even in prayer. Everything you are doing is there to aid you. And why will you not live your life aiding other people? This is the message of the gospel. This is what changes our lives. It's not do's and don'ts. It's, I received the love of the Father, and I'm able to actually share it with you. You know what? Let's rise up today.